I asked the kids to come up. This is the first Sunday of Advent, so if you consider yourself a kid, come on up here and have a seat right here in front of me. And Dwayne is moving, so. All right, yeah, you can have a seat right there. All right. Welcome, everybody. And I'm going to try to sit here. I didn't plan this very well. All right. So today is the first Sunday of the time of year that we celebrate what? Christmas. Yes, Christmas. And we always celebrate Christmas for four Sundays leading up to Christmas. And during those Sundays, we have special themes. And this year, we have a theme that's running the whole way for the 4 weeks, and it centers around a name. And what is that name? Does anybody have any guesses?
Jesus.
Jesus. Very good. Centers around the name Jesus. And today, our whole theme is about Jesus, but our theme today begins with the first letter in Jesus' name, which is J. And next week, we'll talk about a word that begins with the letter E. Yes. So today, what do you think the word might be that begins with the letter J that we're going to think about today?
Jesus.
Joy. Joy. Yeah. Actually, that up there on the top of the star, it says joy, but the little thing folded over. So that keeps it a little bit of a mystery to some of us. But it does say joy. So that's what we're going to think about today. Now, joy is a little bit of a bigger feeling than happiness. Okay? Joy is that good feeling that we have down deep when the most important things to us in life are true or are happening. Now, I have something in this box to help us think about joy. So, what do you think it might be?
A J.
A J? Well, anybody else? What do you think it might be? It might be a J. Any other guesses? What do you hope it is? Huh? An ornament? You hope it's an ornament. Okay. Anybody else? Well, you guys are quiet. What do you hope it is?
Candy?
You hope it's candy? Who wouldn't want it to be candy? Anybody else hope it's something in particular? Well, actually, the thing that I have in this box, at least one thing that I have in this box, is a piece of candy. Yeah. It's a wonderful piece of chocolate called Bliss. And how many have had this piece of Hershey's chocolate called Bliss? It is indeed blissful because it's so smooth. And you know what? If you were hoping that this was candy, when I pulled a piece of candy out, I did see a lot of smiles. And I might even have enough for more than them, but we'll see. I did see a lot of smiles. So that kind of made us happy because we hoped that it was candy. And it was. And so that's something that came true. It was candy. I have a second thing in the box, in a box, in this box behind me. What do you think that is?
Ornament.
An ornament. Well, let's see. Is it an ornament? It's an ornament. Not so many smiles this time. Isn't that interesting? It was an ornament. The second thing in the box is an ornament. And this ornament, for us, represents who?
Jesus.
It represents Jesus. And Jesus brings joy into our life. In fact, Jesus brings the deepest kind of joy that we can experience in our life on this earth. He's the one that brings it. And while we might think sometimes that chocolate brings the deepest kind of joy in our life, in reality, it's Jesus. Now, what often happens is we often get caught up thinking and concentrating and spending most of our time trying to get this kind of joy. What's going to happen with this in about 5 minutes, probably for some of you? What's going to happen? You are going to eat it, and it's going to melt away down into your belly. And then will you still be happy and joyful that chocolate was here this morning? You might be. But will it continue to bring joy into your life, the chocolate? No, because the next joy will be the next piece of chocolate that you get sometime down the road. Okay? So as we think about joy this morning, try to remember that the things that bring us the most joy, that we think bring us the most joy, often aren't that at all. And it's really Jesus that only is going to bring us the deepest kind of joy that we can ever have. So as you go through your life, make sure you don't spend most of your time trying to get this kind of joy, but that you spend most of your time trying to understand who Jesus is and trying to understand how he can be a bigger part of your life, because that's really the most important thing. So this morning, as we leave, and I'm going to say a prayer, and then when you leave, you may actually, now, when you get this piece of chocolate, I would like you to ask your parents if it's okay if you can eat it before you eat it. We have a deal? Okay, because they might want you to wait till later. All right, I do want you to ask them. So I'm going to set this here, and you can take one of these, just one, and hang on, I'm going to say a prayer first, and then you can take one of these in here, and don't push and shove, just be very patient. And then you can go down to junior worship when you get it, okay? So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much. We thank you that the joy you bring does not melt away, but it stays forever and ever. And I just pray that everybody in this room would understand that if their hopes and dreams are truly pinned to joy that melts away, I just pray that we would be able to turn that around in our life today. And that we would be able to understand that Jesus is the most important thing for us to grasp and receive joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as they're doing that and getting ready, it's actually my turn to speak this morning because Randy wasn't supposed to be here. And there he is. So, oh well. He was able to get ready to go hunting instead of preparing a sermon. So that's a good deal. So I hope you all enjoyed your holiday time over the past couple of days. Since the girls are older, holidays bring a special kind of joy that I didn't really experience in the past. So it's really neat when they can come home, and it's really wonderful. So how many of you did find yourself at a mall sometime over the last couple days? Yeah. Now, the shopping mall symbolizes probably one of the most temporary types of joy that we can have. In fact, while we might be very happy when we're there buying that thing that we've been eyeing up, it's not too long after that some other feelings move in. Recently in Philadelphia, in the Macy's in Philadelphia, about 1,000 people had a different kind of experience at a mall. Maybe some of you saw this. We're going to try to look at a YouTube video, but I'm not getting too excited that it will actually work because it's just always up in the air as to whether these will actually work in real time. But every so often at the Macy's department store, there's this huge organ, and every so often somebody plays the organ. And this particular day, they had actually sent kind of a secret memo out to all of the choral groups in Philadelphia. And they encouraged them to come to the mall at this exact time. And then at this exact time, this organ, which is the biggest pipe organ in the world, was going to begin playing a piece that they would have memorized. And then they were just supposed to start singing. And everybody in that area would be like, what? What's going on? So let's watch this and just kind of get a sense of what happened here. quite the experience while shopping. You know, there were a lot of people there that day, and I'm sure that some of those people who were there were just simply singing and enjoying an amazing piece of art. But I'm sure there were others that were there that were just filled with the joy of knowing that he shall reign forever and ever. In that moment, it would be safe to say that all of the people who left there left that moment of joy, whether it was for the art or for the impact of the Savior in their life, actually proceeded on their journey from that place, probably continuing to search for that joy. Because isn't that what we all really want? That's what our search is about. It's about finding that joy. So what is joy anyway? Well, like I was telling the children, joy is that sense, and I use smaller words, but joy is that sense of well-being that springs from our deepest, most important hopes. And when those hopes are alive and thriving, life feels really good. Well, there can be many different hopes that contribute to that joy. And probably if you would sit there and think, you know, what are my hopes that contribute to the joy of my life? You could probably list them. So when things happen in our day-to-day life that frustrate those hopes, then joy begins to diminish inside of us. We become less joyful. And sometimes we can get very confused in our search for joy. Even when we have Jesus, we just feel really confused. If only there was a GPS system that we could attach to the windshield of our life that would speak out those commands to get us there. How many of you use a GPS system? Not too many. Actually, I'm a little surprised. I think if we lived in a more metropolitan area, we'd probably all, yep. Because I know if I lived there, I'd want one. You know, there's too many roads and things. Well, I don't use one. But I've occasionally been in vehicles that do use them. And sometimes they're used with appreciation. Of, yeah, boy, I sure am glad that little voice is telling me where to go. And other times, it's like, oh, just shut up, you know? Turn that thing off. That voice is so annoying. And I know some GPS systems, you can pick which voice you want, and maybe you can change it. Well, GPS stands for Global Positioning Satellite, and it's really a pretty amazing system. In fact, it's not going to be too long down the road that my husband will no longer have to touch the steering wheel in his tractor. He will be able to just have it driven by GPS system. Seriously, his sprayer system already is going to be managed that way. Well, as we go on in our search for joy, I know an even more fantastic GPS system that is out there, and it's God's plan is supreme. It's God's plan for our life. That is our GPS. And it's perfectly designed. It's ready to use. We just have to learn to use it. So as we consider moving on with our GPS, we would set the destination for joy. And the first place it would send us would be to a point of decision. A point of decision as to whether we are going to even accept Christ into our life, accept God into our life through Christ. And there is no alternative route. You cannot say, I want true joy without Christ. Take me there. The GPS system will probably say, destination not found. So if you are here today and you don't know Christ, that's your first stopping point. That is where you must start. But perhaps you are here today, as I suspect many of us are, as a follower of Jesus Christ, and he is your Savior and Lord, yet the joy of Christ that you thought would come to your life is distant and evasive. It just isn't quite there. We have suffering. We have things that happen in our life. And just because we have Jesus in our life does not mean suffering ends, does not mean all that stuff ends. Because if we just look at the life of Paul, once Paul began to follow Christ, he began to suffer in ways that he never did before. Following Jesus does not mean we will not suffer. But the joy that he gives us, the blessings he gives us, helps us through that suffering. Jesus makes three statements in John that speak directly to the idea of our joy being complete. And I look at these three statements and I see some commands that we can hear from our GPS if we're really listening. So we're going to go down through here with these three statements that Jesus makes about complete joy and see what kind of commands we should be listening to from our GPS, that is God's plan supreme. The first one is found in John 15:9, starting with verse 9. Jesus writes, or Jesus says to his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Other versions say full, fulfilled, supplied fully. All of those words can be used there. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. How committed am I to learning, listening, and obeying God's commands? How often is my spiritual GPS saying, make a U-turn as soon as possible? Or how often is it saying, recalculating route? Because we've turned off the wrong way. The really neat thing, though, is much like our GPS, it just gives that very patient command, make a U-turn. I have to recalculate the route now because you went the wrong way. Turn around, go the other way. God is every bit as patient with us. So if you find yourself in your life that you are definitely in a place of disobedience, that there are things in your life that you know, you're not obeying God. First of all, you will not be fully supplied with the joy of Christ because you are in a place where it cannot reach you, a place of disobedience. The second scripture is found in John 16, starting with verse 24. Here Jesus is talking to his disciples in the days leading up to his death, and he says, "Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day you will no longer ask me for anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." Well, I'm sure you're sitting there saying, well, if only I could ask for anything I want, of course my joy would be complete. If I got everything I wanted, wouldn't it be complete? Of course. But we know that we've pleaded with God over things, and he has not given us those things. So what can this mean? Well, here, Jesus is talking about the change in relationship that the disciples will experience, a relationship that we can also share with God now because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. This new relationship with God is lived out through our love and obedience toward him. Through Jesus' name, we have a direct connection to the Father as we live in honor of Jesus or in his name. Our deepest desires will become more and more consistent with God's plan for us. So as we ask God for the desires of our heart, because they are his desires as well, God will give them to us, including a joy that is complete. It is this joy that helps us through the sufferings and hardships of life. So am I willing to trust God to replace my desires with his? Am I willing to pray that prayer, Lord, make your desires mine? Or do we like our desires too much and we just don't want to let go of them? So our GPS might be saying, please turn off the root of your own desires onto the root of God's desires now. This will be your new root. And are we willing to do that? Turning off the root of our own desires onto the root of God's desires. You see, that scripture says, ask in my name. Can we truly ask for some of those things in honor of Christ, in his name? For a last clue from Jesus, we turn to John 17:13. And here Jesus is praying to the Father. And he says this, starting, actually, I'm going to start with verse 11. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, the name which you gave me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. Now, as I read over the scripture, I see Jesus talking about two primary things that I think we need to grasp in order for us to understand complete joy. And the first one is that God will protect us from the evil one. It's his desire to protect us. We can trust in his protection. So much of our joy is robbed when we go through life trying to manipulate, trying to manage, maneuver, and worrying about the things that might happen to us. We find ourselves occupied with that constantly and not really paying attention to the fact that God will protect us and we can trust him to go down that road, to go to that destination, to be on his plan, in his plan. We can trust him to protect us. The second thing would be I see Christ focusing on in the scripture is our oneness with other believers. And if the relationships with others in our faith community are neglected or strained, our blessing of joy promised by Christ cannot fully be experienced. Often our relationship with others fail because of our insecurity and self-protection. So that kind of goes with what we just talked about a moment ago. But another reason for failure in the relationships in our faith community is because we basically neglect them. We have not made time, and we do not make time in our life for those relationships. Failure to maintain a positive, growing relationship with other believers will prevent us from experiencing the blessing of Christ's complete joy. Here our GPS command may be, merge just ahead with others who love me. Bear right with love, trusting the others to make room for you. Don't be a loner. Travel the journey together. So what is the status of your joy today? Once you have committed your life to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you are on the path. God has provided these directions. He's provided these clues as to how we get to the destination of joy. Once again, perhaps you need to learn to obey God's commands. Perhaps you need to make a U-turn immediately because of disobedience. Perhaps it's time to finally turn off the root of your own desires onto the root of God's desires. Do you live your life in fear, afraid to follow his directions? It's time to stop living a life of self-preservation, self-protection, self-protection. It's time to trust God to protect you on your journey. Perhaps you finally need to merge with others who love Christ, bearing with love and trusting other believers to make room for you. Don't be a loner. Travel the journey in fellowship and partnership with others. It's time to make sure that the hopes most important to us are not the kind that just melt away, but are the ones that will go on for eternity. Any one of those things could be the reason why you're not experiencing the joy that you expected to experience in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we do crave that joy. We crave to understand what it means to have fully supplied joy in our life from you. Sometimes as we travel that journey of joy, we get sidetracked, we get off the road. We have things in our life that are blocking it and we just don't know what they are. I just pray that maybe perhaps this list of things this morning would help us all to reflect and spend some time examining ourselves to understand why the joy that we crave from you is distant. Pray that this Christmas season would be even more meaningful than ever as we move those things out of the way that prevent us from rejoicing in your coming. In Jesus' name.